Hello, Santa Barbara, and everywhere on the internet that is listening. This is Bruce Salen, and you are listening to The Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. We have a special show today, and it might be, in fact, a template that we use for other shows in which we have one single guest, and we devote one whole show to a single topic. And the guest I will tell you about shortly, but the topic is family movies. Everybody loves movies, but we're going to talk about the good and the bad that Hollywood does as far as family movies. Our special guest today is Sherry Coben. Lifelong multitasker and insomniac Sherry Coben wrote and produced plays in New York City. She won an Emmy for her very first television writing job, NBC's breakthrough series Hot Hero Sandwich, and followed with a staffing stint on ABC's hilarious soap Ryan's Hope. Shortly thereafter, she sold her first sitcom pilot to CBS. I didn't realize it was your first, Sherry. Mm. The show she created and wrote was critics' darling and long-running ratings hit Kate and Allie, starring Jane Curtin and Susan St. James. Taping that series in the historic Ed Sullivan Theater on Broadway proved no small thrill for all parties involved, but mostly for its creator. After relocating to Los Angeles while under contract with MTM, she produced and wrote CBS's landmark children's series for children, Bailey Kipper's Point of View. I like Point of View. And kept more than busy raising her family and working as a mentor, improv coach, theater director, and costumer. Sherry directed the world premiere production of Bubble Boy, the musical, last year's ASCAP Foundation Disney Musical Theater Workshop winner. Sherry once again returned to the theater, the home of her heart, with Sugar Happens, a one-girl show. The play originally workshopped at the Strasberg Institute under the direction of David Lee Strasberg and has recently completed a five-year run in L.A. and New York City and heads east again this fall. She is hard at work on a web series and writing film criticism for moviesmackdown.com, and she likes nothing better than talking about movies. And as much as I like to think I know about movies, she knows a heck of a lot more. So welcome to The Bruce Salen Show, Sherry. It's an honor to have you.
It's fun, I hope.
I know you like to talk about movies, so do you have anything you'd like to start with as far as maybe how movies have changed now and then in the family genre?
Well, they've changed dramatically. And the way we watch movies is so different. I've watched the way my kids watched movies. My children are almost grown. They're 21 and 24. But
you were 14 when you had them?
Oh, sure. Uh-huh. Sure, Bruce, I was. Uh-huh. And I just, when they would watch movies as children and when I would watch movies as children, they'd watch them knowing they'd own them in about 6 months. And be able to watch them every day.
Or if they didn't catch it, it'd be available.
Yeah. And we caught everything because I was pretty intense about movies. And also, the great thing was that I literally made a list of movies that I wanted my kids to have seen before they left my house. So I had a list and I accumulated videos. And so at any moment that there was downtime, they were getting educated on movies.
So that, given the ages of your kids, that means you went through VHS to DVD.
Yeah, mostly VHS, though, really.
And have you kept those VHSs?
I still have everything that ever happened to my family, sure, on VHS. And they're going to also have to watch their actual childhood in real time because we also documented it intensely.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be very grateful for
they
that.
They already are.
But, well, yeah. It is true that the way you and I watched movies was so different than the way our kids do.
Yeah.
The only way I saw certain great movies in those days when I was growing up, like Gone with the Wind, was when it would either have a rare road engagement at
very
a theater,
rare.
Or it was on television. And if you recall, in fact, I bet you do recall, and this will be the first quiz question for you, and it's really not fair, but when Gone with the Wind premiered on television for the first time, it was on CBS. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what year it was.
Yeah.
It was on a Sunday night, and it appeared against two other movies that were made for television movies. And it got beat, I believe, by a television movie, which was at that time kind of the change in the network attitude towards broadcasting feature films versus television movies. Later, cable supplanted all feature movies, and now, of course, feature movies don't appear on regular network television, I think, at all anymore.
No, it's true.
So it has changed really considerably.
But our years were scheduled around when Wizard of Oz was on that
once
a year,
yes.
And when Peter Pan was on, the Mary Martin Peter Pan was on yearly also at my house. So that's what we scheduled our – in my childhood, my childhood was the once a year. My children's childhood was the once a day. Wizard of Oz for probably 3 years each.
It was one of my kids' favorite movies, too. And
so ridiculous.
The thing that's remarkable, and my kids often comment on this, is the movies that scared me when I was a kid, they look at me like, what are you talking about? How does that wicked witch in The Wizard of Oz act scare you? The other one, by the way, which I did not discuss with you when we got together to prepare for our show, the other movie that actually terrified me was the Sleeping Beauty and the dragon. When I saw that in a theater, that dragon gave me nightmares.
I'll share a story with you. Sleeping Beauty was the second movie I saw in a movie theater. The first was Voyage to the Center of the Earth with Pat Boone, who I had a crush on at the time. But sitting and watching Sleeping Beauty, I was sitting next to my mother, and halfway through the movie, Maleficent had a real tight close-up, and it occurred to me, I was probably 3 or 4, I kept looking at my mother and looking at Maleficent, looking at my mother, looking at Maleficent. They had the same face. All Disney villainesses look like Jewish women, actually. That particular one was my mom, and that was horrifying. And I didn't sleep well for a year, not because of the dragon, but because of my mother.
Oh, your mother just brought it all back to you. Exactly. I see.
I mean, she was beautiful, but those eyebrows and that, you know. Yikes.
It's interesting. Those images were very powerful to us, and I think our kids are getting a whole different exposure, especially by current films.
They certainly get a lot more. And my husband is a film editor and works on not always horror films, but enough horror films that my kids were raised with them and knows how they happen. So my kids, one of their favorite movies as little tiny kids was Poltergeist. Hmm. Not because it scared them, but because it was a great family movie for them.
Now, why would you say that was a great family movie?
They loved it.
Because it was about a family.
They loved it. They just obsessed on it. They loved it.
And would that be on a list of favorite family
not
films?
Not for normal families, but for my own. My family is a little strange, and you'll get that over time.
By the way, I have to share. The funny thing is you mentioned the first movie you saw. The first two movies I saw in the theater. First was Gigi, and that was during the day. Because I wasn't allowed to go to movies at night until I was about 10 years old or 8 years old. We actually figured that out. It was I went to my first nighttime movie, the original Parent Trap, with Haley Mills, and at a theater that, of course, no longer exists. And that was so powerful to me. And then, of course, when they came out with the remake, which was rarely one of those rare cases where a remake was in many ways as good as the original. At least I thought so. We can disagree on that. Lindsay Lohan.
My
at least,
curled eyebrow. Okay.
Well,
disagrees.
We could debate that further. But Lindsay Lohan certainly was wonderful at that point.
No,
and that was her first film. Whereas Haley Mills was the darling of Disney in those
days.
She's
a goddess.
That stays with me. But what other values? We only have a couple minutes left for this segment. What other big changes do you see in the values of movies then and now, other than there are ratings that we have now?
Yeah, there are ratings, and there's just a lot more product. I mean, a lot more. There used to be, you know, three networks, and they had cartoons in the mornings on Saturdays, and that was pretty much a couple movies a year. And they ran – remember, movies ran in theaters, and there was one theater with one movie, and they'd run for months.
Well, they also had double bills.
Yes, they did.
And they also had cartoons.
They did, indeed.
In the movie theaters.
We're dating ourselves. Please.
Yes, and they also had serials. I remember going and seeing Flash Gordon, some of that stuff.
I plead the fifth.
Okay. But the truth is the vigilance required of parents today in monitoring the kids' media is much greater than it ever used to be.
Well, there's just more product. It's really hard. But I'm less worried about monitoring and keeping them away from stuff as using things that they do see as a teaching opportunity. And because you can't really protect a child from seeing stuff.
Well, you can when they're under 10.
Well, obviously you don't. Yeah. Right. But I mean, you want to give them their own ability to decide for themselves what's the right thing and the wrong thing and a good thing and a bad thing for them.
Another discussion on this topic is when you let them see an R-rated movie and what level of R-rated movies do you let them see? In other words, is sex okay or is violence okay because they both are involved? We need to take a break. So if you want to come back, which I hope you do, where you're going to talk about the Disney model in the next segment. This is Bruce Salen of The Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View on KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.